This is it. Episode, I have completely lost track.
I feel like we are Stella and we're finally getting our groove back.
Okay.
Whatever that means. That's movie reference, actress, Stella got her groove back.
Incoming.
Oh boy. That happens every time.
Hello? Hi, who's this, please?
Which one of these buildings do I go to?
The one where it's the Show World HQ banner flag is flying. Yeah, just a second. Sparky's going to step out in the balcony of Zundies.
It's and the you can one see him. Beside the parkade covered thing.
Oh, boy. I'm going to need that beer sooner than later. So our special guest is Leo. Pronounce your last name.
Let's go with Perret.
Perret, or is it Paré, or is it doesn't matter?
It's Perret, damn it.
Perret, damn it.
Doesn't matter.
Well, of course it matters.
Every time I see him, he says it differently.
Well, if you're from my hometown, everybody calls us Paris for some reason, but it's Perret.
You're like a puree.
Yeah.
Melting pot.
Any relation to the cookbook lady?
Nope, but I get that question a lot.
I would imagine so.
All right, now, initially, I don't know if this is on mic or off mic, but just moments ago, he told us that his entire family was ravaged by the flu, which begs the question, as a doctor, are you still contagious? Like, are you carrying the zombie gene over there?
I think we're in the clear. We've had a 24-hour clear window now, so you should be good. But
you don't
know.
Look as perky as you generally do.
No. Life's beat me down a little bit since you saw me last.
He's got a new job, and every time I see a press release, I'm going, oh, God, I hope he's okay.
Still gainfully employed.
Still gainfully, so you're still snowing him. That's good.
Yep.
All right. Sparky just turned off the big monitor.
Unless you want it on. There is no real purpose.
You know, it's very calming when you shut that off. No, it's good. It's calming. Yes. I like it.
This is officially episode 22. Well, not officially, because according to, if we count in the previous hosted episodes from another site, we might even be close to 30, if not at 30.
Well,
we'll have to do some calculation.
Okay. Could I have a question?
Yes.
Me in the back. How do we get those on here? Like the old episodes.
We're working on it.
Because when people discover us, like a guy just said today, that was a really funny episode. It was good. And it was Breakfast at Tiffany's. It's the only one he's ever heard.
There's like 24 other ones he could hear.
It's a show short. He downloaded that on a drive to Saskatchewan.
Yeah, well, I got to tell you, before I left the Advocate, I mentioned the show to our managing editor. He used to listen to, or does listen to, his iPod on the way to work, and I can tell you he's a regular listener now.
Seriously?
Oh, yeah.
Get out. Okay, shout out. What's his name?
John Stewart, managing editor of the Red Deer Advocate.
John Stewart. Let's play a John Stewart clip in honor of John Stewart. That's hilarious. We may or may not play the John Stewart clip because Sparky doesn't want to edit this week.
Who's awesome? He's awesome.
He is awesome.
Thanks, John. We do every now and then.
I appreciate that. Let's crack a beer first.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
We'll explain where the beer came from after.
I understand this isn't the first time beers have been cracked on this show either. So,
I've had this before. Baby. Have you had before? No, I think last time you said this is your first.
The anticipation has been building for nigh on to years. Okay, here we go. This is my first ever sip of Ribstone Creek. And by the way, I went by Ribstone Creek when I went to Saskatchewan. I went over it. I'm looking at it, and then I really got thirsty.
You must have been close to the brewery then.
That is good stuff. Oh, that is good stuff.
Nice. Is it just because it's really hot and we've all had a long day, or is it that good?
It's got to be a little of both.
The Alberta Ribstone, known in the Cree language as Anastapalakashlejda. Large stones carved to resemble a buffalo ribcage. Very cool. So now your new title is you're like a PR publicist.
I'm a marketing and communication specialist at Quinn Contracting, a local oil field contracting company.
Yeah, very well respected, and their safety record is unrivaled in the oil field industry, which is the most important thing when you're working on all these dangerous sites, right? So the thing is, what is the number one challenge for Quinn Contracting? What's the number one message they want to get out? They need people to work there.
Yeah, if we're going to plug Quinn for a minute.
I have no problem with that guy.
The biggest thing for us right now is...
If there's anybody who can monetize the podcast.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, the biggest thing for them right now is recruiting. It's turnaround season in the Alberta oil patch.
Yeah.
Looking to make hundreds of hires between now and July. So...
So dumb down turnaround for Sparky because he doesn't.
Oh, come on.
Just the time of year when a lot of facilities like some of the ones are. Do we talk locally now? Can we mention where we are? If last time I checked, we weren't mentioning.
This is downtown Blankville.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So some of our large area facilities shut down for our annual maintenance this time of year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's where our guys come in big time.
Okay.
So pipe fitters, steam fitters, plumbers, welders.
So what about the rest of the year?
We have ongoing maintenance contracts as well to keep our guys busy, but this is would definitely be peak season. We get a lot of seasonal workers coming in for anywhere from 3 weeks to 6 months.
It's like my buddy Rob who has the orchard and brings in seasonal pickers. Every year he's got to get the crop off with pickers.
A few of these guys come in, make their 100 grand in a few months and go back to where they came from, and they're good for another 6 months.
Mm-hmm. Sparky, we got to get involved in turnaround.
I think I can steam some fitters or whatever.
if we did 100 grand for like 5 months, then we do the podcast in our garage for the rest of the time.
A few YouTube how-to videos and you're set.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly.
That's how I fix my toilet.
You seriously did fix your toilet with YouTube?
One time, yeah. It was it's an interesting name if I recall.
It's the ball cock.
That's the one.
Yeah.
I didn't want to say in case I was wrong.
Yeah, no, you were embarrassed to say it, but I'm a man and I will say ball cock if I need to.
I switched it.
So you screw it off and you screw it on.
It wasn't that easy. It wasn't that easy. I figured it out via YouTube. It's a true story.
Mine is leaking like just a little bit, like just enough to drive you completely mental. And it's that hard gasket, whatever that, the flipper flapper on the bottom of the tank of the, where you go in the back there.
Yeah.
And it's hardened because of the water. So it's like, it's a little bit is escaping all the time.
You guys warned me the show takes off in wild directions as it goes.
I don't know if I was prepared for this.
I'm
not sure if wild is the right word, but different directions for sure. Okay, so Sparky, I guess we're drinking beer, and that goes along with camping, and
that
you just
correct.
Returned from an adventure on Maylong.
The very popular question that I was asked was, did you get any rain? Because I camped, can I say it was not that far?
In an area. Between major centers.
So it was a lake south of a big city.
Anyways, rhymes with?
It's a bird lake.
Yeah. With you, got
like, you. Like... Pigeon, but not
Shigeon.
That's right. Anyways, Saturday we got there Friday night. Great. It was cold that night. Holy cat's pajamas. Okay. I was in the fetal position and I almost regret the decision.
Were you spooning?
Almost.
Were you spooning?
No, there's no spooning in camping.
Okay.
No rain.
So he was by himself again.
No rain, no snow. It was a successful camping trip. However, there was a said beverage ban at this campsite. And I got to tell you a story.
Okay, I don't understand that at all.
Friday night, we're lined out outside the park because naturally people are checking in, right? We are waiting probably half an hour by the time we actually get into the park. But we see the park cop guy. He's just standing there by his truck, and he was standing there for a good 10, 15 minutes. So I was like, oh, they're checking people.
Arms crossed.
They're asking.
Arms crossed? Yeah. Oh, boy.
So they're asking people.
Serious.
I thought maybe he had a partner because he was by the truck. He didn't move. And then all of a sudden, he was walking towards our direction. Well, we had goods in the back.
Goods.
And we're like, well, what do we do? We just play it cool, guys. Just play it cool. So then he comes up and I'm the driver. I rolled down my window. I was like, oh, we're just asking if people have alcohol. There's an alcohol ban. And I was nodding like I understand the question. And he's like, oh, so you have alcohol. He thought I was saying I have alcohol.
Oh,
but I was like, no.
It's like an auction.
I thought there was
Don't move.
And then my friend's like, how about that fire ban? He's like, oh, there's no fire ban. Anyways, long story short, we drank. We were great.
So you didn't get rowdy?
No.
I've got a good May long story from last year, if I may. We got ourselves a $500 fire ticket in the middle of a rainstorm, might I add.
What? Oh, I remember this. You got hot over this. I'm
mad. It was a good ending, though, because eventually, I would say a week after the incident, I got a call from the ranger himself, and he told me to go ahead and tear up the ticket. They weren't going to pursue it.
But why did he have to give you all the aggravation to start with?
Oh, and we were a little fueled up that night, too, so we weren't hesitating to tell him what we thought of the ticket. And we got a little sassy.
It's all about common sense, though, right? And like, I don't understand why anyone wants to go camping May long when you can't light a fire or drink. Just stay in your living room. That's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Oh.
We went out to a farmyard and camped on May long, and this was the first outing for the trailer. Now, we only got the trailer in August last year, and so I had the dealership winterize the trailer. So that's still a mystery to me. I don't know what happened in there. I hear tell of antifreeze and whatever, pumping and whatever. Yeah. So then I pull up there and I figure, no, I'm not going to do anything before I get it out there. We get it up, set it up. And thank God this buddy of mine was there, shaky. And he said, well, have you done the dewinterization? And I said, no, I don't even know what that means. So we went through this whole procedure, and thank God he was there, because there's buttons. Yeah, underneath the bunk bed is where the water heater is. Like, underneath, yeah, you lift up the bed, and there's taps and valves and shit everywhere. And, like, I'm going, oh, my God, this is takes forever. But we're back in action. The camper's ready to roll. I lost my belt, so I'm pretty sure it's still in the camper. I got to wear my dress belt with casual jeans. That doesn't feel good.
Did the heater in the camper go on at all over the weekend?
We put it on.
Oh, I bet you did.
Yeah.
A bunch of wussies.
Well, and then when you got a little bit hammed up, it was too uncomfortable, so you had to, shut her down.
Well, I'm wondering, as a new camper, relatively new camper owner, have you had any sewer incidents yet? Everybody's got a good sewer incident story.
When I rented a camper one time at Band Camp, and it came running down the middle of the thing, and I'm going, what the hell is that?
Yeah.
But no, thankfully not so far.
Lucky you.
My buddy that was at the same camp out and stuff, like, he's got a ginormous, like, his fifth wheel is bigger than this whole apartment block. It's outrageous. And he puts the hose into the city water tap, because there's city water inlet, and then there's other water. I don't know. Who cares? And he cranks her on, and I guess the winterization didn't go so well because his taps are frozen. He blew the taps to the roof. Boom. Everything. So you had to replace the, like, $250 worth of taps to start the season.
Don't have that problem with the tent, I'm saying.
Yeah, think about the trailers. They're a really good investment. So you follow my logic.
Just constantly escalating in value.
$27,000 to drive her off the lot, and then it loses about $15,000 the first week.
Mm-hmm.
And then you use it
three times a year, if that.
9-10 days a year. It definitely pays for itself.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, I don't know. It's nice to have. And our daughter is young enough, and so are your kids, Leo, that you got to have it, right? Because they say the number one memory of childhood is camping.
It's true.
I'd never get my wife out camping if I didn't have a trailer. She's an indoor girl.
She's not going to sleep on the...
No, she needs furnace. She needs a shower.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're still spooning alone, Sparky. Most women don't like the tenting.
I've got the room. You should see this beast.
You got a big tent, like multiple rooms?
It's like
rooms?
An 8-person.
Ooh.
Oh.
One big room. It's got a porch.
Tent mansion.
I got, the palace. And I got a queen-size inflatable air mattress.
Yeah.
I lay out the sleeping
bag. Does it slowly leak throughout the evening?
No, it's perfect.
Okay.
I got the pump, so a battery-operated pump. Just charge that up every night before
room
bed.
So how much room? You only have a vehicle. Like, is all this crap fit in your car?
Funny you should say that, because I went with two friends, so three of us in total, for a weekend, there was no room.
Yeah, you have a roof rack, too.
I do. I did actually buy one of those cargo boxes, and that thing is a mint. It's amazing.
But that's another ripoff. That's like akin to buying a trailer that fits on top of your car. Like, the thing is, like,
it's extra storage.
$800.
Only a couple.
Yeah, it was $800.
Only a couple. I don't need the big fancy brand name.
Buy a camper.
I know what you're talking about.
You got to get into camping so you can share our pain.
And then put it where?
Get a camper.
And then line out at the shit dump, like the rest of the suckers at the end of the weekend, and pay for that.
That is the worst part.
Hey, you know what? I pulled in. I got the hot tip from my buddy Kevin. Oh, yeah. Go to the car wash. And so we go past our stop where we're going to go, blah, blah, blah. Go, oh, yeah. Did I say? I think I did. Anyway, bleep that. And then we go into the thing, and it says closed.
Oh,
sorry, no dumping for you today.
So now you got a tank full of poo?
So, yeah, I forgot all about that, too. How long can that sit in there?
You don't want to keep
There's
that
no
there
crap,
long.
Only piss.
Like, longer than.
A little bit longer. Oh, man. Now I got another thing on the
Have you list. Used the bathroom in your trailer?
Yeah, see, I'm not comfortable with going the number two because I'm going like...
My friend is convinced it's women and women only who use the trailer bathroom.
Yeah, that's a firm rule for some people. Yeah. No dumping in the trailer.
Yeah, because you know what? If you get a little backed up in camping...
It's like Robin Williams in the hit movie RV.
it can be exactly like
that. Was a funny movie.
Yeah,
I was
really
pleasantly
enjoyable.
Surprised by that movie.
Quite
I gotta be honest
it.
With you.
Part of it was filmed in Southern Alberta. Fun fact of
I
the
did
day.
Not really realize that ever. Okay, so what else is you got on your
agenda?
Well,
I got lots of things to talk about. Did we give a shout-out to the Ribstone Creek Brewery?
Well, we're about to discuss this major elixir. I love this thing. This is really good beer. Like, it's just mid-level, right down the middle.
That's what the lager was supposed to be. That was the very first beer they came out with. What do you think of the can, by the way?
The can is very cool.
Yep.
And so you designed this?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? No, you didn't.
our design has come a long way since then, but that was our original can design.
Oh, these are original. This is awesome. Okay, so now explain to the lovely listeners what your relationship is to the Ribstone Creek Brewing Company.
Yeah, the Ribstone Creek Brewery was, I guess, a pet project my dad and some hometown buddies came up with, I'd say, 5 or 6 years ago. Your typical, almost cliche story of a bunch of guys sitting around in a small town pub and scribbling ideas on napkins and things like that. And then a couple years later, they kind of got their shit together and they had a town hall meeting in Edgerton, Alberta, just to kind of get a feel for what the interest was like in the community, because the whole idea was to have community investment. You know, they would put up some money themselves, but they needed...
Sold shares.
Yeah, that was the idea, yeah. So they, you know, they thought they'd have this little open house and something like 130 people showed up. And, you know, lots
of... Well, the whole town's only 400.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so the ratio of interest was high. And
I like to drink. I do too, Larry. Let's do this, Barney. Okay.
Yeah, so it was honestly going around to friends and family and seeking some investment, and they rounded up over $1 million and got going with the brewery for about the first year. It was just the lager.
Yeah.
And now I think they've got about 5 on the go. I brought some tasting notes here if you want to get that
awesome.
Far into
yeah,
it.
Yeah, for sure.
But the lager you're drinking now, Ribstone Creek Lager, is a premium 5% lager that combines an easy drinking mm-hmm. finish with handcrafted quality. Whatever. Handcrafted quality.
Okay. Yeah, somebody's finger was in
it,
there.
Yeah. It pours pale gold with bright sparkling clarity and a soft blanket of white head. The aroma offers delicate grainy malt sweetness supplemented by a light grassiness and a hint of floral hop.
And this is gold medal winning brewskis.
Yeah, that was the latest development. The annual Calgary Beer Fest, which is a wow. massive, massive Western Canadian beer event. Ribstone Creek won gold medal for the best light lager at the show.
That's amazing. So it's not even like a market size. It's overall gold.
Head to head with Big Rock and
that
Wild Rose.
Insane,
and
man.
It was a huge, huge win for us.
So your dad must, yeah, just be on top of the world.
Our guys are over the moon, you bet.
So what are the goals for Ribstone Creek? What do they want to see happen with this little project?
Yeah, to date, it's just kind of been like organic growth. You know, we gauge demand and we try and meet it. And when demand goes up, we try and meet it. So it'd be interesting to do like a time lapse of the brewery itself, because there is a lot more equipment and tanks and stuff in there now than there was on the day they got rolling.
Is there enough room for future growth there at that site?
Yeah, the building itself is kind of an interesting story. It's the old, it's kind of a historic building in Edgerton on Main Street. It was a tractor dealership for years and years, well-known building in the area. Yeah. The guys have went in and gutted it and turned it into a brewery. It's a really cool place if you ever get to visit Edgerton, Alberta. Make sure you take a trip down Main Street. It'll take you about 12 seconds to drive Main Street, but you can't miss the brewery, and they're open for tours and stuff like that. They love having people come through and ask questions and, of course, you know, spend some money in the gift shop and all that type of stuff.
Yeah.
But it is worth a visit for sure. There's nothing else like it in Alberta. It's, to my knowledge, it's the only truly rural brewery in the province.
I love on the about section of the website it says who's who. So Don, your dad, is a farmer.
Yep.
Chris Fraser, lawyer. Cal Hawks, mechanic. And David Beardsell, a veteran brewmaster. That was your big score, getting David.
David came in a little later in the project. Actually, he was going to come on as a consultant. And once he came out and saw the brewery, saw the community, got to know the guys, he
fell in love with the whole idea.
Yeah, and he just said, if you guys will have me, I'll join up as a partner. And he's been that guy is amazing. He's a beer genius for sure.
Beer genius.
He could have
put that on your business card.
No,
that
kidding.
Would be awesome.
Yeah, one genius. Of those guys that could have worked for NASA or something, but instead he chose to make beer for a living. So God bless him. Oh,
man. God bless him. No kidding. Your dad, like every kid's dream, their dad's owns a brewery.
Yeah, it would have been more awesome if I was 16 or 16, of course. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, obviously.
Yeah.
18. 16 in Alberta is like 19 anywhere else.
That seems to be.
All right. Well, that's very cool. So it's ribstonecreekbrewery.ca. Very cool website. Easy to navigate. You got to check it out. Now, where can we... Now, this is initially the problem. This is why I haven't cracked one of these until this fateful day with you on the podcast. They're very difficult to find.
Yeah, it's getting easier. But yeah, you're right. It's certain parts of Alberta, it's almost impossible to find. But another big score for them lately was they signed on with Liquor Depot, who is now
sweet
50 locations Alberta wide, which was a huge
victory.
So
your increase in production has to go through the roof to accommodate that huge chain.
Yeah, exactly right. It's kind of a trial run at this point. So yeah. So about 50 locations, bring in, you know, a small supply of it to see how it goes. So we've been really trying to pump it as much as we can, get the word out.
So what is the plan of attack when you do this? Do you have hired tasters, like hot girls with low-cut shirts being in a liquor store?
It's the Rips.
Or your dad
funny.
Does it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some rubber boots guy, and a pitchfork.
It's
Tram a brew.
Yeah, I mean, Ripstone hasn't really went the the beer tub girls and that kind of
route.
Well,
it's more classy. It's gold medal winning beer. You don't want to declass it. But I'm saying, like, would you guys set up trial tastings in some key markets?
Yeah, we have done that, and we make a point of being in pretty much every beer show that we're able to be in Alberta. Things like
that. To get the buzz going within the community and then spread the word that way.
Yeah. We have a full-time sales rep, our sales manager in Edmonton now, David Helms. So he's out there beating pavement, talking to pub owners and liquor stores and all that stuff. So that's really cranked up our sales over the last few months.
And what's the dirty, seamy underbelly of the liquor business like? Like, are the big players trying to say, no, oh, you're not coming in here?
We have a few stories. I won't name names just in case. I don't know what all the legalities of that are. But in Wainwright, one of our kind of right out our back door, Wainwright's about 20 minutes away from Edgerton. And we had a large Canadian brewer make some big promises to a local pub on the agreement that they would keep Ribstone Creek off their taps.
Yeah.
So
it's just like you see in a TV movie with anything.
Absolutely. We've heard stories of guys. I mean, this is something that's not really talked about in the industry very much. We've heard stories too of companies handing out iPads to waitresses and things like that.
Which I like. I like my waitresses to be up with the technology.
With iPads.
You know, like really quick.
Yeah, good for them, but it's hard for somebody like for a small brewery like Ripstone Creek to compete.
Not that much anymore. It's $300.
Yeah.
I would look into it, guys.
Yeah.
Well. Take some of your wages out of there. And I mean, they're protecting their turf because they've got a certain market share. And if all of the microbreweries keep, impeding on their market share, it's going to affect their bottom line.
Yeah, the big brewers are really feeling the pinch right now, I think, because you're seeing them get a little more aggressive with their, like you say, their protective strategies and things like that.
Yeah. It's very interesting. And this is all like a side project for these guys had all had day jobs and some still do maybe.
Oh, all of them. Yeah. All
yeah.
Of them still
that's
do
amazing.
Other things on
like
the side.
What an endeavor.
My dad's out seeding right now.
Yeah. That's crazy. Wow. So they work long hours to make this happen.
Yeah. And now there's a couple full-time staff members. Aaron Hogarth is now the head brewmaster, I guess is his title. Brewmaster.
Right.
He's running the show at the brewery anyway, and he's doing a hell of a job. We've got three or four beers on the go and a brand new one coming out right away here. I don't know if you've seen our Facebook page lately. We just announced a new one coming out that I haven't even tasted yet. It's called Fire Pit Wit.
Fire Pit Wit.
And it's coming out as a kind of a summer beer, a wit beer it's called.
Okay.
So
I love this Stiegel. Have you had Stiegel? It's a grapefruit infused beer.
I have not.
Just a really light with a hint of grapefruit. So that's, to me, that's a summer kind of feel. Yeah. Like it's crazy.
Yep.
5 years ago, I never would have pictured myself drinking something like that, but it's really refreshing.
Oh.
So you guys are on the right track to do something like that to target the month and a half season
of
summer. Well, look at all the pictures, man. That's great. Your Facebook page is loaded.
Yeah, we try to keep it. We try to keep people up to date there.
So what is the range, the product line now consist of? We got, this is the original.
Yeah, the lager you got in your hand is the original. Rangeland Pale Ale is another popular one that is only on tap. Lone Bison IPA, which has really taken off in the Edmonton market, a 6.5% unfiltered beer.
Okay, so what's that mean?
When you
it's
pour
dirty.
The, yeah, it looks dirty. Yeah. It's cloudy.
Yeah.
Got chunks of stuff in it. No, I'm just
makes
kidding.
You poop.
It's just cloudy. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the real beer purists like their beer unfiltered. It's almost catering to that beer snob community, and they've embraced it big time. Yeah.
Do you have something like a real thick, heavy?
Nothing,
would that be it?
Nothing like a Guinness or anything like that. But the closest they've come, I would say, is the Old Man Winter, which was a seasonal beer they came out with around Christmas time last year. And it was a real dark, almost smoky tasting beer. It was really popular too, but we wanted to save it kind of for a seasonal thing.
I guess that would be the biggest challenge as a brewer in this country is, I mean, it's a long winter and people tend to go more for, highballs and scotches and ryes and stuff in the winter and more beers in the summer. So you really got to appeal to the highbrow tastes and keep creative.
Yeah, what we found is the, like you say, the highbrow taste, those are the people that are talking online about our beers and rating them and writing blogs about them and things like that.
Blogs them.
Oh, there's just, it's, yeah.
Are they pompous or are they kind of cool? Is it interesting?
There's a lot of both. Yeah, it depends on what they say about us. That's how I...
how you gauge it, right?
Yeah, like we've had people at beer shows that come up and swish the beer around their glass and sniff it, and we always just say, like, are you gonna drink that shit or what?
Yeah, yeah. It's not wine, it's beer.
Drink it, man. Have another.
Like, they come in sixes, so you can just keep doing that all the live long day.
And there's not one guy on our crew that's a beer snob. We're just
guys who like beer
to drink beer that tastes good. Yeah,
that is awesome. Well, yeah, and you know what? You can't go wrong going into it like that, because this initial offering that came out is just a really good beer. There's no,
I like it. I like it a lot.
Yeah, yeah. There's no other way to explain it. Yeah. It's just a really damn good beer.
We get and the lager sometimes gets criticized as too light or too bland or whatever, but I mean,
I don't find this bland.
No,
it's exactly what I look for in a,
like,
in
if we're sitting around a campfire drinking and telling stories.
There
this
will
is
be
the
six.
Beer.
Six will be gone in no time.
Flat, yeah, it's sure, very much a kind of
and conversational
every man's
beer.
Kind of beer. Yeah,
love it. Well, thanks for bringing it. This is great. Finally,
I got a couple things here for you. I brought a shirt and a couple glasses, which you thieves can either keep for yourselves. Or
contesting.
I was thinking maybe a Facebook page giveaway or something like that, but I'm not going to tell you how to do your business.
Well, just
an idea.
You could help us do our business. You know, we have licensing and partnership agreements available at will. So we got to share a lot of this stuff on our Facebook, all their Facebook contacts and everything. Yeah, how many likes do you got on this bad boy now?
On the Ribstone page?
1351. We got to hook our wagon to this bad boy.
Hitching the wagon. Hitch it up.
Yeah, because we're at a super strong, yet
like 85 or something. Like
demure 85.
Got to push that. Yeah. Our Twitter is doing really well, too. I think we're at 2,300.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you got to work it for stuff like that. You got to keep the conversation going, as they say.
Yep.
Right on. Okay, so let's move on with our next conversation. And I'm nursing this beer.
I got another one for you.
Because all you do is talk. You're the talker of the group. All you do is,
he said that he tried to be not malicious.
Some people, some friends and fans of the show, they wonder if I still stick around sometimes because you just talk.
Hey, you drove intern Louie away. He's never coming back.
Why is he not coming back?
Because he just doesn't like you.
Intern Louie, Scooby Sway. Scooby Sway.
Okay, so you go. Your turn.
Well, I have a few topics, just life topics I want to talk about quickly. Hey, thoughts on the MJ hologram at the Billboard Music Awards?
I thought it was kind of cool.
I thought it was cool.
Cool and weird.
It was very weird, yeah.
So the way I think it happened was is that they had people on the stage and then they previously filmed, you know, like, was that a lookalike guy? And there was some on film, some in front, so it made it look three-dimensional?
I heard there was live dancers.
Yeah, live dancers in front of this kind of cool screen. Like,
I have no idea.
I don't know. If you go to Vegas and you see these shows, it's just an illusion that's amazing.
Well, right? I didn't look into it too much. I was just, you know, I was amazed. And I actually kind of dig the song. I actually got a hold of the album. Wouldn't pay for it, but I got a hold of it through my connections. And it's actually pretty good. I enjoy it. I'm an MJ fan, so.
Yeah, I swear to God, cool. I heard that single driving over here. Just the tail end of it on some station.
Do you golf at all, people here in the room?
I play whack F-word on occasion.
Same. I'm with him. I want to golf with him.
Yeah.
I am officially invited to my first golf tournament this summer. And I told the guys, I was like, you know.
You can borrow my clubs.
I am no good.
Because they look like they're brand new. They've never been used.
The worst thing you can do in that case then is practice. Because then you'll just be mad at yourself for practicing and sucking. It's best just to go and play bad.
So that's going to be, I know how it's going to end. It's going to end horribly wrong. I got mocked for throwing a football around on the May long weekend. Apparently I can't do that properly either.
If you, whatever you call it, whiff the ball off the tee or whatever, when we do the golf tournament with my brother-in-law, you have to drop everything. Like not just your pants, but your actual gaunch and then take your next crack at it.
Nobody wants to see that.
That's part of the doing business in Saskatchewan.
Golf's one of those games that can leave you feeling like the, you know, big swinging dick, freaking tough guy, or the biggest Nancy ass puss ever.
Yeah. And you know what? When you do it in front of a crowd, like if you're at a tournament, even a best ball tournament, which is not that serious, it's still horribly embarrassing. I find. I'm not everyone. I'm in the minority. I know that.
If you're religious, pray for me. Just Lord knows I'll need it.
When is that happening? A couple of weeks?
Yeah, June 20th.
Just
June
get 20th. Ripped up right before. Yeah. Usually I'm pretty
just
good.
Get right ham.
Like golf to me is just this. This is all it is.
Oh, it's with the boss, so he better spendage some money.
You got to bring your own, though. The boss will go, oh, we'll get one from the beer cart girl, and you'll see her every half hour.
No, we're good.
Yeah, load up.
Need a flask situation.
No,
I think.
You just need to you bring a bottle and put it in your golf bag.
Oh, or that.
Yep.
See, that's what
that's
you do.
What I don't know. It's just a bunch of TV show crap that I don't know.
You watch? Do you guys, you and the missus, watch a show regularly, Leo?
We do Game of Thrones. That's about it. Yeah,
it's pretty.
Surprisingly, I got my wife into that. It was kind of a struggle at first, but now that we're caught right up, she seems to. Into it.
It's like a lot of those Netflix and HBO shows. It starts off with some crazy sex action, mm-hmm. Like Orange is the New Black or something.
Yeah.
Like
maybe that's why she. Yeah. Maybe that's why she likes it.
Yeah, it's date night.
A poll around the campfire from the three guys, including myself. They'll watch a TV show if it has a substantial amount of nudity.
Okay.
If it's nudity, they're in.
Okay.
Really? And apparently a lot of these shows like the Game of Thrones and there's like a something about Vikings maybe.
It's called Vikings.
Or may not have some.
It's a good name for it.
Yeah.
Some about pirates may or may not have nudity. I don't know. I watch this silly wimpy shows on cable, not on Netflix, but
Netflix is getting good and like I can't wait to see what's gonna unfold in the next 6 months to a year because if they sign Chelsea Handler as a talk show host, then who's next? I mean like they'll start I bet you Ferguson's going to go there too.
Yeah.
He'll have like a year off hiatus and go, yeah, I can rip up everybody else if mm-hmm. I go on Netflix. Mm-hmm. You know, like he's an innovator, leader. He was on the Craig Ferguson show. You know?
Oh, that was you guys?
That was episode 10. Yeah.
Who was on there with you?
My friend and coworker. And we road tripped all the way to LA.
Yeah, I watched it on YouTube.
Ended up on
it's insane.
Did we do? Yeah, I was working at the paper at the time. I think
there may or may not have been an article.
Yeah, and we had to go dig around that because you had it saved on some drive or whatever because we wanted to repost it.
And you got to meet him and BS with him and all that?
Yeah, we were part of the show and did some small talk and stuff like that. So,
awesome. Yeah, funny guy,
been
man.
Been a super fan ever since.
Yeah.
A little sad to see him go, but at the same time, I had a good haul, 10 years of that show. So, he'll be around. He's got other things on the go.
You guys have scripts? I just realized this.
Yeah, this is all totally scripted.
Son of a bitch.
Did you see, are you a Spider-Man fan?
Not as much as my 3-year-old, but yeah, I watch Spider-Man.
Spider-Man 2,
the new one. Yeah, have
saw
you seen it?
Yeah.
Is it good?
A little too long, a little on the long side. Could have tighten it up, make it faster, just get to the action. But I liked it. The effects were amazing. Jamie Foxx,
was
good. Yeah. Electro Man guy.
Electro, yeah.
Yeah, I liked it.
You know,
spoiler alert.
That's what I don't understand in this day and age is when you go to a movie and it suffers from lack of editing. Like people are so ADD and they don't edit these things tighter.
Yeah.
It drives me crazy. I don't understand it.
Sally Field, though, she's aged.
She's 100. Like, when she was in Smokey and the Bandit, that would have been the mid-1980s and she was already 35, 40... Not 45, but in her early 40s.
So there you go.
Let's remember as she was.
Emma Stone's on my top 10. I don't even have a top 10 list, but she's definitely up there.
Why is she so... Okay, you know who I didn't think was hot until I saw in the Avengers?
Yeah.
Was that
Scarlett?
Scarlett Johansson.
Oh, yep.
Well, where have you been this whole time?
Well, I didn't think she was that hot. She's hot. She's different hot, though, right?
She's got a few topless scenes out there, too, doesn't she?
She's not as hot as my wife, but she's interesting.
Well played. Well played.
By the way, Sparky, don't worry too much about golf because 26% of women wish their man did not own a set of golf clubs.
Hey, don't own one.
So you should be getting some love there on your club.
Bring that bell.
70% of female executives say golf is a great tool for business, though. See, and that's the only reason I wish I could golf because there's guys, normal guys that luck into 150 grand jobs because they did schmoozing. We can schmooze all at bars or whatever. You can't touch us. But a lot of guys love to golf, and if you can't schmooze on the golf course, you're screwed. And I'm so busy getting pissed off that I can't schmooze.
Yeah, shanking 200 yards into the bushels. It's a career-limiting move.
200 yards. If I could hit the ball 200 yards, I'd be freaking
Rock star.
The Canadian scholarship. Okay, so this is future jobs. I thought this was interesting because we're all like kind of considering our options.
I'm having my fifth midlife crisis as we speak.
Yeah, and Leo just changed jobs recently. So, yeah. And that's a big decision, right? Like it scares you shitless.
Yeah, still freaking me out a little bit.
But, yeah, because you know your game. You know the newspaper industry. You've worked a long time in it. And then all of a sudden you got to go, I still got to feed my family, but I really want to try something else.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, you go from almost top dog kind of thing, or you know you're what you're doing inside and out, and
yeah,
back to the rookie guy asking questions and keeping your head down around the office for a while.
That's the thing, yeah, because you got to listen. You know, you can't just talk. You got to listen at that point.
Oh yeah, and every little thing you screw up or forget is amplified 10 times.
Yeah, and I, especially on social media that you're in charge of. So these are future jobs I came up with. The Canadian Scholarship Trust Plan has teamed with Foresight Strategists to create new job descriptions that will likely be available by the year 2030. Okay, so one is end-of-life therapist. As lifespans increase, planning the final phase will become standard practice. So hang out with somebody and figure out how they want to end their life and transition their wealth to their people. That's what seriously, that's going to be a thing. Oh, gamification designer, using game logic to help people of all ages learn new skills. So this, I don't know if we read the survey on the show or not, but seniors are happier if they're on Facebook and Twitter. My mom and dad aren't happy. They need something going on. And I think it's too complicated. They can't figure it out. Every time they log on, they got a virus going. There's pop-up windows all over the place. Like, I don't know if dad looked at something he shouldn't have one time and it just blew up the computer, but it's like nonstop.
It's best not to ask.
Exactly. And now they won't go on it at all, right? So there's no mom has we made her a Facebook page.
Oh, really?
Get them a Mac. It's way easier for seniors.
Get them a Mac. Okay. I'm trying to get food. I'm getting you to get me free beer.
Yeah.
Garbage designer, upcycling trash to create new usable items. I see us all doing that in the alley.
Yes.
Healthcare navigator, helping families struggling with the stress of illness and bureaucracy. And, you know, I've talked to a lot of people that are going through this because, you know, to access, especially, you know, if you've got to put a parent or a grandparent in a home, there's a lot of paperwork, a lot of decisions, and how do you do it and how does it happen? That's crazy. Nostalgist, hired to recreate happy memories for their clients. That sounds like a creepy TV show.
Wow.
Nostalgist. Robot counselor, helping consumers determine which model is best suited to their particular needs. Like a robot? Oh, by 2030, we're going to have robots.
Allegedly.
And not just vacuum cleaners either. Simplicity expert, helping businesses streamline day-to-day operations. And you know what? I just talked to another guy who changed careers. If I came into your office and looked around, spent like a month there, and I go, yeah, well, if you did this and stuff, you'd probably save money here and blah, blah, blah. If you did it to my office, same thing would happen because it's an outside perspective. As long as you're reasonably intelligent and you invest some time in looking into things, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe we should go look into the brewery, Spark.
Yes, we should.
Let's do that tomorrow.
All right. Taking the day off.
Brewery efficiency expert could be the next big career for 2030. It's time for a Sparky Love Life update. Before we get there to find out what happened on the latest Match.com's cheesy pickup lines. These are good, man. Your body's name must be Visa because it's everywhere I want to be.
Yeah.
Do you work for UPS? Because I could have sworn you were checking out my package. I was uncomfortable the same room full of guys.
It was that look on your face that made it uncomfortable.
Have you heard they changed the alphabet? They put you and I together. I lost my phone number. Can I borrow yours?
Oh, yeah. That's classic.
I may not be the best looking guy here, but I'm the only one talking to you.
I like that one.
You might not be the best looking girl here, but beauty is only a light switch away.
Ooh.
Oh, man.
Ooh, presumptuous. Yeah,
I know. We all have a buddy that would use that one. Seriously? That's bad. Okay, so let's.
Oh, that's rich.
This is one of my favorite aspects of doing this podcast is to find out what's happening next because I foresee a happy ending somewhere, like not that, like a real emotional, happy wedding ending for Sparky. But I don't know. It seems to get circumvented all the time.
Rico, with the disappointing.
So anything. Any love connections?
What is this? Fingers
I thought
together?
You were going to. Were you? Did you have somebody on the line? You did. You had the girl from the function who said you had a nice suit on.
I didn't have a suit.
Suit?
Your tie and shirt, black shirt and red tie or something. I listened to the podcast. I know.
Who? What?
Rewind.
Who commented on my suit and tie?
You were wearing that when you met the girl on the Twitter, and then she was there with a guy.
Oh, that was nothing to do with clothing.
Okay.
She just happened to be there.
Okay, so what happened to that girl?
I have to find out what her game is. What's her story? What's her story? How do I proceed? Remember, I needed Tina Tuner's advice.
Just ask her shit.
Like,
how you doing?
Okay, yeah, I could tweet her. So far, we've been tweeting back and forth.
So how... See, this is the thing, Leo, with Sparky, his infrequent communication. Like, he'll get somebody kind of in the zone of interest, and then he just, like, he'll leave it for, like, 5, 6, 8 days.
See, when I was younger, we had MSN Messenger to wheel on the babes.
Yes.
That was a really effective tool.
We had a party line phone where the mothers were listening. That's what we had, and you shit your pants every time you had to dial.
Well, she works at the library, and I don't know if it's the public library or if it's the college library, and I was supposed to go to the library.
I got a library card. We're legit.
Was she there? Do you even know what she looks like?
I didn't even
blonde
think about
and
it.
Potentially gorgeous.
Totally forgot about her.
Oh, you would recognize.
I was there to get a Farley Mowat book. That's how old I am.
And you didn't call.
And I didn't. Oh, damn it. I told
you. Make me going to go in this alone.
I didn't see anybody under the age of 50 in there when I was there.
So she might work at the college library. Then. So anyways, I had to figure out her story because clearly we get along.
Okay, we got to do a short. It's a show short at the college library.
Yes, we got to go back there. Stop. Yeah.
Yes. That's the scene of the crime. Go back.
I did go to the Backstreet Boys concert with a female friend that I could
no
date.
Kidding,
that I would
no
date.
No guy would go with you.
That I would date.
All right.
But can't date.
Oh, you can't? Oh, she's taken?
Not available.
She's a female, pardon me, co-worker?
No.
Oh.
Unrelated, lives in a different city.
Okay.
Totally my type, 100%. Personality, looks.
Yeah.
What was the BSB concert like?
Holy crap.
I'm honestly curious.
I walked into the Rexall place, and I haven't seen, I don't think, so many ladies in my life. There was little young girls with their moms and whatnots. There was attractive 20-something-year-olds dressed up on a night out of town.
So here I am mocking the guy. This is genius.
Yeah.
Pure, unadulterated genius.
Ladies everywhere, and it was loud. Like, the screams were loud, and funny you should bring it up. I want to play. I took a little bit of audio. These guys, 21 years together as a band, or however long, 21 years, to sell out or sort of sell out. It looked sold out to me, but according to the newspaper, it was almost.
So Rexall's about like 16.5, 16.9.
I didn't see a damn single empty seat in that place.
Okay.
But the shrills were ear piercing. And then you got to think about this. In their height. Yes. Thank you. It was a dance party, nonstop dance party. You know the words. Some of the new songs, well, I'll go to the bathroom, get another beverage. But if I was in their shoes, to be 30 to 40, however old they are, on stage, and
they want to be single.
They're because, singing. They're singing your songs. Let me just. It was.
That's pretty cool, actually.
That just took me back. In time to a teen dance in 1999.
And that's the thing why I enjoyed it so much, because I was 8 when they came out, when they formed. So I more or less grew up with that kind of music at the junior high school dance, at the high school dance, slow dancing.
Just grab ass into Backstreet Boys.
Yeah. But to be there, and it was pretty fun. No band, though. They didn't have a band. So they just sang with the,
tracks. Yeah.
That's probably all they were ever doing, really.
And they can't be accused of lip syncing then, because that's what they're doing.
So it was good. I really enjoyed it. I didn't pay for the tickets, but I really enjoyed it.
I got to do mine now.
The Luke Bryan concert was a similar scene.
I can only imagine.
Just a panty storm flying at the stage.
Oh, man.
Chicks, my wife like openly salivates over that guy. Like, doesn't even try to hide it from me.
No. Wow. Yikes.
It's just, yeah.
He talked like Kermit the Frog, though. Yeah. Hi, Luke Bryan.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Well, he talks like, I don't understand that, but.
How and, y'all
you know what? You want to hate the guy because it's your instant thing.
I don't
thing.
Hate the guy. I
and
like
then
him.
You find out that he lost like 8 siblings. And
I think he's one of the most real dudes out there.
Yeah, yeah. He must have something going on, because the music to me is not there. Like, it's just. It's all right, but it's not like
he really nailed the like summer fun teenager kind of feeling. I don't know what it is, but
he's almost like, to me, almost like a Kenny Chesney.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, except, yeah. Except
party
like
summer.
Cooler looking.
Bush parties and stuff. Yeah. Instead
not
of
the
beaches.
Beach. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, okay. So now that place was packed. It was floor to ceiling jammed.
Oh, yeah. Jammed. And like deafening female screaming the entire time.
Can only imagine. Yeah. I'm going to see him this summer at the Craven Country Jamboree.
Yeah. It's a good show. Like, and when he, of course, when he comes out and does Shake It for Me, it's just, you can't even tell.
Pandemonium.
Yeah.
Pandemonium.
A lot of hormones in the air.
When I was a kid in the 80s, we went and saw George Strait. Same thing. Saskatoon Centennial Auditorium. Yeah. Screaming girls the whole time. Right behind us, I'm going, shock star. I didn't even know who the hell he was. To
trying
be
to hear the music.
Yeah. It's like, and then I'm going, yeah, this guy's pretty good. Will you shut up so I can hear? Okay, Leo. Leo's got a good aesthetics. Pan down on our Facebook. Can you recommend something to change this freaking bubbles?
Bubbles. Scroll up.
Scroll up. The blue bubbles. Get rid of that.
Oh, yeah. You know what I'm thinking here is a tight camera shot of the dials here.
Yeah.
And then
board.
Yeah. You crop it.
And then
it
some
like that.
Alcohol.
Oh, yeah. That one.
Like,
yeah.
We got to have some personality in it, too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, I like the board shot, but we need some personality.
I think we definitely do drink every time we're together.
Yeah. And
every
it's
time
starting
I've
to hurt
listened,
my liver.
Every time I've listened to this show, I do.
And it makes you go, shit, I wish I had a drink.
Yeah.
Yeah. On the way over here, do you know that Pharrell's Happy song?
I do. Only okay, because so it's on Despicable Me 2, and my kids watch that.
That's right.
Thousands
that's
a, of times
that's
a day.
That's crazy. I know. That's a great movie. The first six times. anyway, they've redone it. Cats have done it on the internet. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
But when I was on the way over here, I was listening to CBC, and in Tehran, they made a video, and it was a bunch of teenagers, six or seven of them, and there was females and males. The women were not wearing veils. No veils or anything, and they're not supposed to be cavorting with men at all.
No.
So they got stood up on national television with their backs to the camera, and they were being told what their punishment was going to be or whatever. And Pharrell was tweeting, obviously, and he's going, this is the saddest thing I've heard, stopping people from being happy or spreading happiness. Like, can you imagine? Look at how lucky we are. We get so down about little things in our lives and like, frick. Can't even make a YouTube video over there.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a freaking crime.
I have a scratch in my throat. Apologies.
You need more beer.
Is anyone a CFL fan in the room?
Represent.
Casual riders. Observer.
Casual riders.
Are we concerned that things might... how much do you know about what's happening with the CFL and the talks for the new agreement?
You know, I missed this whole story. I just caught the tail end coming over here. And basically... they want the salary cap to go to, what, $6 million or something like that? And the CFL doesn't...
I don't know exactly the 100% details myself either. And like you, I wasn't really aware of the situation. And only, like, today was the big, like, a big news day because the commissioner released an open letter saying something about, we presented the Players Association with a full and comprehensive offer that unfortunately was rejected. So they want to, you know, they're trying to make it fair and increase in salaries.
Yeah, well, look,
their
you just pulled up the TSN here and it says their salary, the average salary could go up from 82,904 to 92,917. Is that a bad thing? I don't think so.
It's hard to see.
It's paltry in the CFL compared to the NFL, obviously, but that's...
The CFL cannot afford a lockout of any kind.
No.
Not even a preseason.
Yeah. No. And neither can TSN.
No kidding.
What are they going to broadcast?
That's all
man?
They've
like
got.
Like bocce exactly. ball?
But I don't know what the Players Association have offered or what they're, you know, bargaining items are, but the CFL, the league, released, this is what we offered, and it was rejected. So I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know when the deadline is, but my friend ADD Steph bought the Grey Cup tickets in Vancouver.
So all purchased already.
Who knows?
That's a good place to have a Grey Cup, by the way.
Who knows?
Oh,
it's
imagine.
A lot freaking warmer.
Anything's better than Regina.
Oh.
Regina! Experience Regina!
Anyways, my point of the story is I hope, I mean, I planned my whole summer around the Edmonton Eskimos home schedule. So I'm hoping that I
How
get my tickets.
How much are your season tickets?
I pay for 500. 500 for two for 10 games.
Holy.
That's
pretty, a steal.
Yeah, that's a really good deal.
Plus, they have the option where you can sign up for the, with the 12-month payment plan or monthly payment plan. No interest. And it's like $50 a month. So I really don't even...
That's even cheaper than the Blanktown Rebels tickets.
Yes. That's a true story.
And it includes your transit, which I use the transit, and that includes your transit pass. And transit is like $3 one way, so you're saving $6 if you're a transit user.
Hey, I want to ask you, Leo, do you know anything about music on the internet? So say, just say that a couple of happy-go-lucky guys want to start playing more music on their podcast.
We can just do it.
We can do it and beg for forgiveness. That's our original and only plan.
Yep.
Or if you had to pay for that, like, what would that be? How would that work?
I have no idea.
No idea?
Okay. I thought you radio experts.
See, you know what? He talks a good game, but then when it comes down to it, he's not sure.
When you need a clear
answer, is good.
I'm pretty evasive.
You make a good lawyer. How come I sound so much better all of a sudden? What did you do?
Nothing I see here. It's a Mickey Mouse operation.
Now I sound like really awesome all of a sudden. So let's redo the whole show. Let's hey, Leo, good to see you.
Welcome.
Thanks for bringing the beer. When you've been listening to the podcast, what do you hear? Like, what's the... Have you heard any of the segments with what the hell is this song about or anything?
No, I haven't checked in for a few weeks, I gotta be honest. But when I was, it's a little harder in my new job to sneak in a podcast every once in a while.
Yeah, because you're actually working.
Yeah, that's the thing. No.
Well, the small audience that I survey on a regular basis, they get to it eventually.
Yeah.
So, and that's the thing about podcasts, because you can get to it eventually.
Yep. Yeah,
I talked to a guy today and he said 45 minutes to an hour is plenty, because he was a fan of the Jay and Dan ones from TSN and they can go on forever and days, right? And you just can't absorb all the gold. Like nobody has that much time unless you're going, if you're a salesman or something and you're traveling all the time, then you got a chance.
Because, have you figured out like who's listening and when are they listening? Is it a drive thing or are they commuters or who's listening?
Well,
that's a very good question.
We haven't looked at the analytics lately, we used to look regularly when we started this marriage.
Well, we used to have a lot more time when we first started as well.
That was interesting because it showed like the grid map was very like, why would we have this huge pocket in Winnipeg and San Jose, California smattering? And you know, like it just makes no sense.
I love web analytics. It's fascinating.
So are you good at that stuff? Maybe we should send the analysis to him. I was going to say that.
Yeah. I don't know
where's our next play?
To be honest.
I've been meaning to talk about nicknames on the show. It says here that 44% of kids have a nickname, but 2/3 of them hate it. Did you have a nickname growing up, Leo? Bad one. Hated it.
Okay. In junior high, my French teacher used to insist on calling me Leo because it was the French pronunciation. So naturally that became Gayo.
Oh.
So I lived with Gayo for a few years. But
that's great.
It was all in good fun. Yeah,
nothing like the buddies. How many guys were in your grad class?
9 guys and 9 girls. Nice. We all partnered up for the big grand march at grad. Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty cool. So you keep in touch with anybody that was...
Our hometown crowd is surprisingly close. So when you go back to a wedding or whatever, it's pretty much all the same people.
You pick up where you left off?
Yeah. We all stay close enough. There's not really any need for a reunion or anything like that. Everybody sees each other. So
my nickname was G.A.
Mm-hmm.
Naturally. And that was my brother-in-law who tagged me with that. This is Greg Allen is whatever. And so he always called me G.A. And he had lots of nicknames, Slick, Hurl Meats.
What?
And then in college, I got in college and I like to have a clean derriere. I was called Shithead.
Yeah, that's an unfortunate one.
Shithead. Buddies will say, well, what happened was is we shared the room. I had the double room.
Oh, you took all the toilet paper.
I took all the toilet paper. Yeah. And my buddy Rod, who had the single room, was kind of like a fried guy, and he would like get stressed out easily, and so he heard the paper towel or the toilet paper thing going through the wall all the time, and he's going, he came out, he goes, man, I gotta ask you, man, how much are like shit wipe are you using, man? And like I was supplying it, but he felt like he was such a cheap guy, so he took after one shit he took a full roll. And he unrolled it to the length of the roll I had used. And then he got a measuring tape and said 52 feet. 52 feet per shit. And so I became shithead from that day. And that's what all my college guys call me.
Oh, man.
I used to know a guy named Dave Mocha. And then we called him Mocha. And then that became Smokes. And that became Smokestack. And somehow that became Mr. Stackleton.
love how things evolved.
It was like
it, right?
The evolution of a weird awesome. Game. Yeah. So I think to this day, people still call him Mr. Stackleton.
My youngest daughter is Ava Mary Ella, so we call her Ava Mary Smilla. And Sawyer, we call him, middle name's Abraham, so I call him Abraham Stinkin'. And what about you, Spark? Abraham. So you got Sparky from us.
That's
when
right.
You were our intern and radio in the big smoke there in the big city.
Don't even know how that came about, but
well, we wanted to name our interns after dogs, so we thought Sparky was a fun dog's name. And you know what? As interns go, rocked. You should do an intern handbook for interns, because you said they'll blaze the trail of what interns are supposed to do.
But I didn't do anything. I did whatever you told me to do.
Yeah, but you did it well and fast.
I'm not an idiot.
No, you'd be surprised how many idiots.
How many Tim Horton runs did you send the poor guy on?
Oh, back in the day it was Starbucks. Oh. They have expensive tastes.
Wow.
Divas that's, in the big city.
It was closer. That's all. We were trying to do you a solid.
Yeah.
So anyway, what about growing up as a kid?
I think... Kushi was probably a favorable one.
What about your brother? Same kind of thing?
I think he had more of a nickname because he was into sports and stuff like that. Yeah. I don't remember what that was. I was a lonely band nerd, so I didn't really have a nickname. Oh, yeah. Now it's people sometimes call me Travi. My friends call me Travi or TK. TK is my adult nickname, I think.
Yeah, you like that.
I accept
Works
it.
Works for you. Yeah. Accept it, yeah.
Call me whatever.
Some guys try and give themselves a nickname. That makes me crazy.
Yeah.
Can't be done.
My one friend, he's like, you should start calling me Hollywood. I was like, but why? Your lifestyle is nothing but.
Just do it.
It's not even close.
Just call me Hollywood.
Yeah. Just do it because it's mocking him. That would be funny. There was this guy, all the guys in Viking have nicknames. Everybody in Viking has a nickname. Yeah. Everybody.
I would change my name if I lived in Viking too.
Easy.
I don't even know where Viking
is. This one
is.
Guy, my buddy Voodoo Majeski, his buddy was called Hair. And because he had the craziest, like, it was almost like pubic hair on his head.
Oh, no.
And his nickname was Hair.
Oh, at least it wasn't pubes or something like that.
He got off lucky, too. Jeez. Anywho, well, we're all out of gas. And you know what we're going to do for the rest of our allotted time, because we're all away from our families and we're on the clock, is we're going to finish our beers and have some off-air discussion that's totally private. If you'd like to tune in to the Oprah After Show, you can hear all of those awesome comments. But for now, toodles. You got to do stay in touch with
your I got to do my thing.
Yeah, you got
to
do your thing.
Don't you want to do a final thank you to the special guest?
Oh, yeah, we should do that. You do that. That's good.
Oh, no, you do it.
Oh, no, you do.
No, you do it.
We'd like to thank Leo for being here today. Great guest. Probably one of the best we've had in some time.
Yes, and it was a rare first and last appearance from Leo. Thanks a lot for bringing the beer, man, and thanks to your family and all the partners involved in Ribstone Creek, because I am a huge fan of entrepreneurial success stories, and this one, like, you could write the book about this. This is crazy how well this is going.
Let's hope so.
It is delicious. And I want to say you have excellent mic technique. Probably the best ever.
Yeah, and then it saves you all the work. You don't have to boost the levels, right?
You just let the computer do all the work, but still, it's a piece of shit laptop. So.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It was awesome.
Yeah, and continued success faking your way through your job as marketing manager for Quinn Contracting.
I can keep him fooled for at least another 6 months.
Yeah, that's good news. We'll watch this guy on.
We'll watch some YouTube videos to be pipe fitters.
Yeah. We got to do the turnaround so we can make our $100,000 and spend
do nothing for the rest of the year.
I want to go to Hawaii.
Yeah. Well,
anyone else? Where's the ultimate destination you would like to go on vacation?
Honestly, I don't know. I've been to Maui, Hawaii, and that is probably the best place on earth.
I talked to a guy like 10 minutes before he came here that goes to Maui every year.
It's just something else. Yeah.
What makes it so awesome?
I don't know.
Because there's no all inclusives or anything in Hawaii. Yeah, you got to pay for a condo or whatever.
That way it's a little steep, but there's just something about that place. Super relaxed, super, like, weather's amazing, beaches are amazing. Just best place I've ever been.
On our next episode of It's a Show, we're going to talk to my buddy Corey, who's in Charlottetown, PEI. And I don't know how he wrangled this. He's a good schmoozer. But when Regis and Kelly came, he was a catalyst to get tourism PEI to spend $1 million to get him over there and all that. And he kind of became their liaison. And now the royals were just there, Prince Charles and Camilla. He had the same role. He was doing all the social media. So he had the VIP superstar pass. So we're going to talk to him about that and what went wrong with that cross-dresser guy who performed for Prince Charles. Did you see that other thing? Like, who let that happen? It was that guy crossdresser who played the queen, and it just turned and no laughing and just awkward.
No.
Oh, awkward.
Oh, more awkward.
More awkward than the Putin Hitler joke reference there.
Yeah, well,
I only vaguely heard about that, but
if the gulag fits. Anywho, that's next time on It's a Show. I think we'll do a short and maybe tag it with some comments from Prince Edward Island.
We're going to the library.
We're going to the library to get Sparky a woman, because that's what you do. And I got we're totally legit. I got my own library card, and there's a keychain attachment one that came with it, so you can have that, so in case security gets riled.
All right. Until next time, keep in touch.
Finger guns.